sexual exploitation and abuse, the report mentions preventive policies that are set out in law and which the country has been implementing for years. Emphasis has been placed on training, which is essential, and on the activities of the police. However, could you please explain in greater detail what are the more specific measures that are taken in order to support families and children in order to avoid such practices? And also, how do you assess whether the policies are actually effective in practice? Because again, we don't have any data about cases linked to sexual exploitation and abuse or sexual violence against children. And so, would you have any specific data on that particular topic? If so, we'd be very grateful to hear it. Also, in connection with a question made by my colleague Ms. Kilache about the digital realm and protection, how do you, through your preventive policies linked to cyberbullying, which have to do with digital monitoring, how do you implement this policy while at the same time respecting the right of children to access digital technologies and to gain education through computers as well? It's a very difficult balance to strike, so we'd be very grateful if you could tell us a bit more about how your country is dealing with this conundrum. Regarding corporal punishment, I'd like to know what is the specific definition that your state applies for cases of abuse and ill-treatment? It's not clear in your legislation. Violence is prohibited, that's true, but specifically, what do you understand by the terms abuse and ill-treatment? What is considered to be abuse and what is considered to be ill-treatment? Perhaps a clearer definition in legislation could contribute to reducing social tolerance for this type of practices, especially in a domestic setting. The country has made progress on reducing child marriage. That is clear from the report. However, once again, could you please provide us with some statistics, if you have them, about the reduction in the number of child marriages that you've mentioned, and also whether your policies have had an impact, in addition to training, that is, and awareness. And I'd also like to know what the role of local authorities is with regard to the elimination of child marriage. And finally, regarding the care for and recovery of child victims, especially of human trafficking and sexual violence, but I'd like to highlight these two child-friendly interrogation rooms that have been established to hear testimonies from child victims and witnesses. I'm wondering a bit about what happens for teenagers who've fallen foul of the law versus child victims. I'd like some clarity there because it's a little bit confused in the report and in my mind. But obviously these two child-friendly rooms are a step forward and are worthy of being highlighted. But my question is, what is the follow-up that is given to cases with child victims? So it's good to have a caring and child-friendly approach, but over and beyond the criminal proceedings, how do you accompany the victims? Do you provide them with assistance, especially of a psychological and medical kind? The report says that they can receive, as if this is not something that is done systematically. They can receive such assistance, but we'd like to know whether there are specific policies and specific measures in legislation and administrative practice regarding reparation and non-repetition in cases involving child victims. And And once again, we come up against the problem of there being no complaints, no reports. I wanted to ask you about the data linked to cases of abuse and trafficking, but as there are no reports of such cases, no complaints, I'm wondering whether the only cases that are tackled are flagrante delicto cases, or do you also address cases through third-party complaints and denunciations? How do you keep a record of all these acts of violence against children, which I've mentioned, the various types that I've mentioned? These are my questions for now. Thank you.
Thank you.